ear, bass on your ear. Take your iPod, your iPad with your HD display. Connect them to the cloud so your data's up to date. With your tablet in the air, play some solid game. Log into Facebook, tag a photo you can share. Tweet your plans, and play some Angry Birds now. Come on, baby, tell me who's the nerd. Nerd up. Everybody say, grab your GPS and get up on your Segway. Nerd up. It's a way of the world. No matter where you are, you got a 4G signal.
It's time for the Nerd Up Podcast, and here's your pod hosts, Guilty Wilson. Nerd Up.
All right, folks, it's time for another episode of the Nerd Up Podcast. I'm Guilty Wilson.
I'm Isaac Wilson.
Eric Billingsley.
And we got with us a special guest. Special guest, introduce yourself.
Good afternoon, I'm President Barack Obama.
I don't believe that for a minute.
Dang. See, I'd really been practicing that. I really thought I could pull it off. No, this is Tim Mattson. I'm an old pal of these two, and it's been a long time since we've talked.
Yeah, and a really interesting, unique thing about it, not only is we go to college together, but later in life, really, we found out that, Tim, you're from a town not too far from me here in the central Illinois area. And it's like,
that's quite correct.
We could have known each other at one point, and possibly, of course, Eric's from that way down south area, so you know. Hey, welcome to the podcast, Tim. It's really, first of all, it's great hearing from you. I mean, what's it been?
Oh gosh, longer than I'd really care to talk about.
I know, right? It's about oh my gosh, I want 20 years. 20 years.
Yeah. That's right. You remember holding my little girl,
yes,
in your hands?
Yes, sir.
She turns 21 next year, next month.
Oh my god.
See, now those gray hairs really start to come out, don't they, Eric?
Yeah.
Oh man. So we all went to school together. We were at SIU. We're all in the theater department, and as we've introduced Eric before on the podcast, Eric, again, it's been 20 years, Eric. I never really put that together.
So I try not to think about it.
I know. And but anyway, we all graduated the same year in the theater department. Tim moved on. I think you went to North Carolina after that, right?
That's correct. Yeah, I went to the University of North Carolina at Greensboro and liked it so much I decided to stay.
Oh, nice, nice. So that's where you are now, is in North Carolina. Nice. All right. Well, Eric moved out of the state for a while and then moved back. And so, same thing here. I moved out of the state for a while and came back. So we may get you to come back eventually, Tim.
As Al Pacino said, I keep trying to get out and they keep pulling me back in.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I thought I was gone for good, but basically I just got sick of the corporate world, and little bitty towns in Illinois are far from corporate, so that's good. All right, well,
that is the truth.
Let's talk about nerdy things. That's what the podcast is all about. First of all, I got a couple things I got to bring up that are kind of important and that are taking place. Well, one of them's nationwide. It's Free Comic Book Day, and every year, the first Saturday in May of every year, they have Free Comic Book Day, and participating comic book shops, they put out a whole line of free comic books. All the distributors, all the publishers, they print special editions just for Free Comic Book Day. And what it is, you know, to get people introduced into the comic book world. And also young readers, to get them started in comic books so that there's a future for the business anyway. And this year, it'll be May 3rd. Let's see here. Giving away free comic. I'm telling you, absolutely free. And there's some really good ones, too. I got a list here that I'll touch on in a second. You're going to want to check your local comic book shop, see if they're participating, because not every comic book store will participate. Reason behind that is it costs the comic book store money. They still have to buy the comics that they're giving away for free. And I think it's a little bit unfair, but in the long run, overall, I don't think people really look at it from that aspect. Even the small, like here in Robinson, Illinois, we've got a little small comic book shop called Vision Comics. The guy, I mean, in this small town, it's not going to be making millions of dollars. And he's got a small following. And, well, actually quite a large following for this area. But anyway, it costs him too much to get the free comic book. So we have to go to Charleston, Illinois, which is about an hour and a half drive from here, to pick up our, you know, get our free comics. Let me give you a rundown of some of the books that they're going to be giving away this year. They got the Archie Digest, number one, for Archie fans. Bongo Free for All, that's the Simpsons-based comics. DC, the New 52 Futures End, they're going to kind of give you a little summary of what's going on in the New 52 comics. Hellboy comic, there will be a Guardians of the Galaxy special edition comic. Actually, there's going to be two Guardians of the Galaxy comics that they're gonna be giving away during Free Comic Book Day. There's that one, and then there's also one that's just Rocket Raccoon. So that ought to be interesting. Let's see here. There's a Hello Kitty comic, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic, SpongeBob comic. There's a G.I. Joe versus Transformers comic, which I think is going to be weird. But
you think?
A little bit, but they're giving it away. There's going to be a Scrooge McDuck. Let's see here. Atomic Robo and Friends. There's going to be some off-center comics, not just the main ones. Grimm Fairy Tales number zero, Epic number zero, Buck Rogers comic, Les Miserables. That's going to be a comic on Free Comic Book Day, and I hope I pronounced that right. Mouse Guard. If you're not reading the Mouse Guard comics, check them out. They're pretty interesting. It's as if William Shakespeare wrote comic books with a mouse as the hero. I know it sounds odd, but it's really interesting. It's a very good read, Mouse Guard comics. But they're going to be having one of those. Sherwood.
Is that an all-ages comic?
Yes, it is. It really is. Last year for Free Comic Book Day, they had a hardback that was free of Mouse Guard. And I picked that up, and it was very, very interesting. Now it's a little more younger audience aimed, but like I said, it's as if, I mean, it's a well-known writer, like, I'm just using Shakespeare as an example, took this and made an art out of it. So it's really cool. You got to check it out. Also, another one, I think, Eric, you might be interested in this. I think I remember right. Are you a fan of Boondock Saints, Eric?
No, you know what? It's on my list to watch. I have not watched it yet, but a lot of people have like, oh, you got to see this movie, but I haven't watched it yet.
Well, you do got to see it, but I thought I remember talking to you about it one time before, but they're having a comic. It's going to be a double feature. Sherwood, Texas is one side, and then you flip the book over and it's Boondock Saints comic. Now, what about you, Tim? You a fan of Boondock Saints?
I did enjoy the first one. I avoided the second movie. I just didn't need more of that. I'm not sure if I would look forward to this or not.
Well, the comic, from what I understand, is going to be based on the first movie. Yeah, I'm with you, Tim, on that. I saw the first one, loved it. And I said, yeah, like you said, no need for a second one. There's no need, so I didn't bother with it. However, you know... Norman.
I'm gonna say the best thing about that is just Willem Dafoe. That is the most bonkers performance. I absolutely love it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Even better than his Green Goblin. That is what introduced the world to Norman Reedus, really, pretty much. You know. So, you know, without.
Oh my God,
Daryl
did not even make that connection.
Yeah, it's like one of the first appearances of him.
It's amazing.
Well, being a huge Daryl from Walking Dead fan, when I saw him, I was one of the few people who said, I've seen him somewhere before, and it took me forever to figure that out. I didn't get through till the second season of Walking Dead till I finally said, oh, yeah, Boondock Saints. So, but anyway, Sonic the Hedgehog's got a comic book, Teen Titans, Smurfs, The Tick, and there's also one here, Zombie Tramp. Not sure what that's about, but it's a free comic book. So, yeah, check it out. Like I said, I have to go to, and I think it's, Isaac, do you happen to remember the comic book store's name? It had something to do with Valhalla.
I have no clue.
Oh, wait.
Zombie Tramp is probably like Lady and the Tramp, but with zombies.
No. But, no, the comic
book. I'm looking at it right now. I think I might have dated her in college once.
See, I haven't seen the cover of that one yet, but I just remembered Midgard Comics was the one in Charleston that we're going to go to. So, but anyway, Isaac, with your middle name being Thor, you should have known that. Anyway, let's see here. So that's Free Comic Book Day, May 3rd. Another special event coming up even sooner. In fact, it's next weekend, and we're going to be there kind of podcasting live, if you want to call it that, even though these podcasts are never really live. I have to put them together, and then we load them up. But next Saturday, March 15th, in Palestine, Illinois, will be Nerd Day. Now, check out their Facebook page, facebook.com/NerdDayCrawfordCounty. Basically, it's all day. It's $2 to get in for it's 13 hours. They're open 9 a.m. until, I want to say, 11 p.m., is what if I remember right, about 12, 13 hours. Anyway, all day, it's all non-electronic gaming. They've got Magic the Gathering. They've got several role-playing games. Let's see. They've got LARPers are going to be there. Either they're going to be putting on some shows, but they're also going to be trying to recruit people into the LARPing arena, you know, so they can get more members. Trying to remember what all they've had last year. What, you a LARPer?
No, that was, no.
Okay. And then, they're also going to be just all sorts of role-playing games going on, and that's one of the best parts about it. They got the Warhammer, they got some Dungeons & Dragons that are going to be going on, and it's just all day filled with nerdiness. Now, this is something that catches Isaac's attention. He's been preparing for this for a few months now. They're having a cosplay contest. And what it is the people are going to go there, they're going to take the picture, you fill out a form, and then they're going to post the pictures on that Nerd Day Facebook page. And the people that get the most likes are the ones that are going to win. And I mean, the contest, you get a $50 Amazon gift card for first prize. I think it's $30 for second. Third place gets a $10. I believe that's right. Maybe it's $20.
I spend most of my money on Amazon anyway.
Yeah, so therefore you have to win, right? So tell us a little bit. Now, again, that's the cosplay. It's free to enter the cosplay contest. And Isaac, tell them about the costume you put together.
Well, if you guys have ever read the Spider-Man comics or even seen the last few episodes of the animated series in like the 90s, mm-hmm. I'm going as a Scarlet Spider, and I've got the entire costume planned out and ready already.
Yeah, it's amazing that what he's put together here. Now, this is the Scarlet Spider that's Ben Reilly, the clone of Peter Parker.
Not Kane.
Yeah, not Kane, which is the latest run of comics that Marvel put out of Scarlet Spider, which ended just, I think, last December. Now, this is the Scarlet Spider. He's got the blue hoodie, in which he just kind of spray paints a stencil of a spider on, red skin suit, utility belt, and, of course, the mask. And
the little thing, belt things on his feet.
Yeah, and all, yeah, like utility belts for the feet or something like that. So, Isaac.
They look like throwing knife thingies that you'd put your throwing knives in.
Hey, well, I got to get you some throwing knives, won't I? wait, I better not. So Isaac's been putting this costume together using his paperboy money. Enter Herbert at this point. Isaac, I got some popsicles for you downstairs. Anyway. Anyway, he's been saving up his money and buying the costume, and he's going to be entering the cosplay. So all the fans of the Nerd Up podcast Facebook page have to go like Isaac's picture when it gets published so he can win, right?
I can get my page with more likes than the Nerd Up podcast Facebook page anyway.
You and your kids with their more likes. Anyway, so those are the two things I had to get out of the way. So let's get this discussion started. I thought I'd start out with a really super hot topic here. On this podcast, everybody put in as much as you want. I'm going to start out with first of all, I want to say that we saw the movie 300 Rise of an Empire, and we've already got the recording reviewed on that, and we may want to talk about that in a little bit. But first, they released a new teaser trailer for the movie Transformers Age of Extinction. All right, now, like I've said on Facebook, the actors are not preparing any Oscar speeches, but, hey, Shia LaBeouf's not in it, so, hey, this might be pretty good. They got one of the Wahlbergs in it. Which one? Which Wahlberg? Do you know? Anybody know?
Isn't it Mark?
I think it is Mark Wahlberg. Yeah, especially the two of you answering that. Yeah, Mark Wahlberg is going to be in this rather than Shia. And, for me, that's one of those movies, and you guys chime in, that's one of those movies that you don't go in this to see the speech, you don't go in this to see the dialogue, you don't go in it to see the acting or the main plot. This is one of those movies you sit back and let the special effects wash over you, because that's all it is, really, is special effects. I mean, especially if the last few Transformers movies are any sign, there is no plot whatsoever. But this one, they're bringing in the Dinobots, if you remember Transformers. So where they can actually transform into dinosaurs, and they kind of explain how dinosaurs became extinct on Earth, theoretically. again, it's a Transformers movie. What do you guys think?
Not a fan.
I got to say, the last one I watched, I came away kind of feeling like I'd been beaten around the head and neck. You know, it's just, it was just kind of an assault. I'm not a fan of Michael Bay.
Yeah,
but Tim, isn't that the same feeling you get when you watch any Michael Bay film?
it is kind of, yeah.
Wait, didn't he?
I got to feel like that he is pretty aggressive with the edits.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, didn't he do that Battleship movie?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure.
I can't remember. It seemed like a Michael Bay movie because it was so horrible. But, yeah, I know. But, see, for me, I go to those movies, A, because I have to review it for the podcast now, and B, because it's just one of those where you, like, I can shut off my brain and just sit back and let the stupid stuff, you know, roll over. And nobody's there to complain.
That was Peter Berg, actually, that directed Battleship.
Okay. Well, he got some hints from Michael Bay, I think. So. But because there was like you said, the edits were not right. You know, so you guys not a big fan. Are you gonna even make an attempt to go see this one, or on DVD?
No, I'm gonna pass on this one.
Isaac, cue the cricket sound effect. So. Yeah, well, I don't know. Like I said, I'll go see it just for the special effects and for the podcast. I'll let people know if it's any good or not. And like,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and like I said, I'm not expecting anything out of it at all. Just a lot of effects is all.
Well, when you were talking about a new exciting trailer that was just released this week, I was certain that you were going to talk about Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, because that was what got my blood pumping, because I dearly love the original Sin City. And has anyone seen the trailer for it yet?
I haven't seen the new trailer for it, no.
It's just more like a teaser than a trailer. It's a good, I think it's a full minute or something like that, but it doesn't, you know, all you're basically seeing is flashes of the characters. And there's all these characters that were in the original, some of who I thought died that are in this one.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how they're doing that. Maybe it's a prequel. I don't know. I mean, it's always a series of stories, you know, loosely woven together. But like Bruce Willis is in it. I'm sure he died in the last one.
Yeah, I thought he did die in the last one. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I remember seeing the red blood come out of him.
Right. And Mickey Rourke, I thought that, you know, as Marv, I thought Marv died too, but I can't remember for sure. But anyway, I was very, very excited. I've been waiting for this sequel for a very long time, and I'm so happy to see that it's coming, you know, in a few months. So
yeah,
woohoo!
See, now I thought you were going to mention the trailer for the Arkham Knight Batman game. That's the trailer that got me so excited. Have you seen it?
No, have not seen that one.
Wait, the what?
Arkham Knight?
Is that basically the next game in the series or whatever?
Yeah. Rocksteady is developing it. It's not going to be the same guys that did Origins. It's the continuation of the Rocksteady games, and it looks absolutely beautiful.
I haven't played any of the other ones, but they look like they'd be awesome to play.
They definitely are awesome. I tell you, it's so much fun. The way they've managed combat, it's so fluid.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like a badass. I mean, you can take down a whole group of normal dudes. And you feel like Batman. It's very, very awesome.
Is it basically the same thing or the same combat system as what is it called? Spider-Man Edge of Time with Spider-Man 2099 and
I didn't play that, so I can't say.
It looks like it would be made by the same people. So
may have to look that one up.
Yeah, same. I played it at the house I was at last night on the PlayStation 3, and it is really fun.
Which one was that?
Spider-Man.
Oh, okay. Now I've heard a lot about the whole Arkham line of games, video games that they got out. I've heard that nothing but good things about them. So, now being a Marvel fan, that's probably one of the reasons why I haven't played it.
Well, I'd recommend giving it a shot. It really is a lot of fun.
Okay.
There's a lot of good fan service. You see a lot of characters you don't normally see. It's really a lot of fun.
Everybody's been telling me I got to check those out. So. Maybe I'll start with that one, Arkham Knight. That might be a good idea. Well, you know, again, I guess you can't please everybody with the trailers that are out there. What about the new Breaking Bad movie coming out with Walter White fighting a big giant lizard? Did you guys see that
one? Godzilla.
I haven't heard about a Breaking Bad movie.
I'm the one who roars. So.
Godzilla is the danger.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I'm thinking that this time around that the Godzilla movie by Americans is actually going to be pretty much right. I think first of all, they got a pretty cool cast. I mean, Bryan Cranston really is, I mean, he could probably, you know, go on to any movie he wanted to right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, he could write his own ticket. But he put him in Godzilla. I was like, what? Okay. I mean, Matthew Broderick is probably jealous, but, you know. But this time, I think the Americans are going to do it right. The last American Godzilla movie, they just... even the Japanese, what was it, Destroy All Monsters? Was that the one, Isaac, where they had the American version of Godzilla in there?
No, that's Destroy All Monsters is a game, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It's Fight to Say, I don't know.
There's the one where it's got every single Godzilla monster ever created in the final episode. It's supposed to have been the final Godzilla movie, but, you know, they keep making them. Anyway, they made fun of the American Godzilla. He made his appearance, and then he was just whacked out of the scene within 3 seconds of his showing up. And it's like, yeah, that's the way the American was. So, but I think this time...
He was taken down by the army, of course, that's how he was.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. With the key to Godzilla is that the army cannot destroy him. And so that's how it works. There's other things. Other monsters can, but not the army. So that's one of the key things. What do you guys think about that movie? Have you any insights, anything you want to talk about on that one?
Trailer looks good.
Yeah.
Didn't you say it was made by the same people who made Pacific Rim?
I think so.
I trust my hands in them.
Yeah, Pacific Rim.
Anyway, I trust them with that movie in their hands.
Well, Del Toro's not directing, is he? I'm sure I would have heard that if he was directing that film.
Yeah.
But
yeah, you'd have been jumping on that one, I'm sure. No, I don't think he's directing, but I think it's
Gareth Edwards.
Wait, Gareth, where do I know that name? What else is he?
Yeah, I know that name sounds familiar to me too.
Let's see.
Now I know I'm thinking of Gareth, the guy Gareth from Torchwood, but that actor.
He did an independent film called Monsters.
I saw it, and it was actually very good. It was actually, he's the perfect choice because it was all these, you know, huge monster-sized monsters that were formed. I don't remember what caused them to, radiation or something. I don't remember what the cause was, but that wasn't what it was really about. But it's a very personal story about these two characters trying to, you know, escape destruction. And it was really well done. I mean, especially considering it was an independent film, and it didn't look like. I mean, the special effects were great, but it wasn't. It was about as far from a Michael Bay film as you can get. So,
well, then we're on the good side then. Cool.
Yeah, I agree. It is a pretty good film. It was a very personal film. Something that I think is a real strength for it was that it didn't show monsters explicitly. I mean, it kept everything just out of the camera's view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's
that really improved.
Well, that's almost like this. Now, being a Godzilla movie, you have to show Godzilla. But that's one of the things the trailers have been doing is hardly ever showing Godzilla, just like little glimpses to where you know. The latest trailers released, though, that showed a lot more of Godzilla himself. So, but yeah.
Godzilla looks more like the action figure I got, you know. He looks more like the it does look like it would be a continuation in the series, like from the kid Godzilla from Desastroya.
Oh yeah, the Desastroya one.
That,
yeah,
it looks like that Godzilla.
Okay. Well, at least they're modeling the monster out there. Now the thing is, though, that what's the name of the studios that do Godzilla movies? I can't think of it. Anyway,
Kohai?
Yeah, that's it. They're doing another Godzilla movie supposed to be released. I thought it was supposed to be this year, but maybe they're putting it off because of the American version. But they're supposed to be doing another Godzilla movie that's going to be released within the next couple of years. So,
You know what I like about the trailer, and I don't know if this is the approach they're doing through the entire film, but I mean, in the trailer, what really got to me was that you know, there's all this smoke and fire and explosions going on, and the way it's cut together, you think that you're seeing like the outline of a building or something in the background.
Right.
And then as you get closer, you realize that it's like much, much bigger than any of these buildings, and you realize that it's moving, but it's done so subtly that, you know, you're not quite sure what you're seeing at first, which is really clever. I like the way that they did that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole tease and the thinking, oh, man, what is this? It looks awesome. And then all of a sudden, Godzilla? Can't be that awesome. I mean, because there's some holdouts out there that, I mean, Isaac and I love Godzilla movies. I mean, we know that they're campy, especially the earlier Godzilla movies, the 60s and 70s versions. They're just real campy. But you get into the 80s and 90s, the Japanese threw something into the storylines that Not only was it a heavy action movie, but they always had this little thing like, well, the very first Godzilla movie with Raymond Burr back in the day, that was the one that, you know, it's like, hey, we're destroying the environment and it's going to fight back. And they've kind of added that in to every one of their episodes or every one of the movies at some point or another. Like there's one Godzilla versus, the smog monster. I can't think of the Japanese name for him though, but anyway,
Hedorah.
Yeah. The smog monster, Hedorah.
Crap monster.
Looks like a flying piece of crap. Yes. But it was one that's pollution. Yeah. The movie itself is bizarre, weird. And, but there's moments that it's like they're playing on, hey, be kind to your environment. So the Japanese have really been into that with their movies. So
it's a cross between a cartoon, drugs, and murder.
Yes, it really is.
And a tree hugger film.
And definitely a tree hugger's thrown in. So, but yeah, that's the Japanese have that kind of, they always have a theme to it, you know, and usually it's, you know, protect the earth type theme. Will we do that in the American version? We'll see. We'll see. Any movies you guys want to talk about?
I still haven't seen RoboCop, but I really want to.
It's good. Well, I mean, as we've discussed a couple times here, the RoboCop movie, it pretty much retells the story, but they've modernized it. And they pay enough homage to the original that you're like, okay, they're not trying to be smarter. They're just like, you know, just bringing it, reintroducing it. So they had enough of the lines in it to make me want to say, okay, I liked it. So what about you, Tim?
All right, now you guys know I'm a really manly kind of guy, right?
Well, of course.
So I was so surprised to be crying like a baby during the Lego movie, of all things.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. I know exactly what. When Isaac and I saw it, I was so glad it was in the dark and he didn't look over at me.
It was surprisingly good. I went in not expecting it to be a lot. But
you mean the part where was it Vesuvius? Is that his name? No.
Vesuvius died? It was a ghost?
Yeah.
No.
Before that, oh.
Although it was sad to see Morgan Freeman die, but no.
I don't know what you guys are talking about then.
That was
the only part that almost made me, but I knew that he was going to come back as something stupid or
no,
funny.
This is something you'll probably understand in about 30 years, Isaac, the whole fatherhood thing. Right, Tim?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true.
That was what got me. I was like, well, see, I kind of went through that experience without spoiling. Well, I guess it's too, if anybody hasn't seen the movie by now, man. Anyway, the whole thing where Will Ferrell, because this is where they switched to the live action part of it, when Will Ferrell is wanting to keep his constructions solid and not wanting, you know, nobody to play with the toys. I went through that myself when Isaac was younger. I collected Spider-Man and Kiss action figures, and I had them all over my walls at my house. I had them put, they were, most of them were in box. The ones that weren't in box, I had duplicates of, and I would pose them and put them on shelves in the poses, like the Kiss, I would have them in concert. Spider-Man, I'd have him battling, and I had these shelves all over my room.
Long story short, most of them were broken now.
Yes. Well, Isaac would see those, he'd go in there, you know, and picture this, a 2-3-year-old Isaac, and going, Spider-Man, and then Venom, and Carnage, you know, he knew the characters. So I was like, all right, yes, you can play with it. So I went through that moment like, oh, man, these are collectibles. Oh, what use is it? But, yeah, that's Tim, you're right. And
you could have sold them.
And, Tim, the worst part about it, a Will Ferrell movie almost made me cry.
That is a shock, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, the Lego movie, it was well done. Perfect. I thought the movie was perfect for all the family to go see.
I completely agree.
So, I'd see that for a dollar.
And it's really interesting. Uh-huh. Right. Very nice.
I see what you did there.
What's really interesting is it's a licensed property.
Yes.
You know, it's a film made from a licensed property, which generally means garbage.
Well, yeah. Well,
let's be frank about it. Most of the time when you license a property, the only reason you're making a movie is because it's a recognizable brand. It'll bring people to the theaters. You'll make money.
Yep.
Regardless of what effort you put into it.
For example, and what we talked about earlier, Transformers and Battleship.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they licensed Transformers, they licensed Battleship, but but they didn't really have anything that they wanted to say using that property.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the folks making the Lego film clearly had something that they had a story that they wanted to tell, and the medium that they were using were Legos.
Yeah.
That made it so much more quality of an experience. Whereas going into Transformers, like you said earlier, I mean, you might as well check your brain at the door because you're not going to be needing it.
Exactly.
But Tim, but you're wrong. They did have something to say. The makers of Transformers and Battleship were saying, "Give us your money." That's what they were saying.
True. Okay.
Yeah. They were saying, "We know you're dumb and you'll pay your money anyway." So. Yeah.
I could see that, but yeah, you're absolutely right. That I was. When I saw the movie, I'm like, this is just going to be pure silliness. I don't, you know, I wanted to go see it just out of curiosity. And Isaac wanted to see it. Isaac builds things out of Legos all the time, you know. And it's like, well, sure, we'll see what they can build. Maybe I can build it at home.
Halo Mega Blocks.
Oh, and Halo, yeah. But so we went there, and we just were ready to, you know, just kind of let it, you know. We were ready to check our brains at the door. I mean, we had, you know, we had the cavity open, ready to hand it over, but. No, they hit you with a storyline that, and it really, you notice that, Tim, it wasn't really till the very end that you really got, well, almost the end, that you like, oh, yeah, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was very well done, and it had, you know, characters that were likable.
Very.
They brought you into that world and gave you people that you could care about, whereas a lot of licensed properties, they don't care. I mean, they're stock characters. There's stock situations that really don't move you.
Right.
Whereas the Lego movie, I thought, was quite different.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I even felt bad for the Green Lantern guy that just wanted to be friends with Superman.
That was bogus. Green Lantern's awesome.
Yeah, I had to agree.
He's the Spider-Man of the DC universe.
He is, actually, yeah. But the way they played that is like, hey, Supes, let's go hang out. We go sit together. I got to get Kryptonite. So. But yeah,
you mean a Krypton
or Krypton, yeah. That's what. Yeah, you know what I mean. Hey, I'm not a DC fan. I don't know I don't know how he gets into that Kryptonite phone booth or whatever. Anyway, so yeah, Lego Movie, totally surprising, and I'm glad. I'm hoping. Well, I probably will. I probably will buy it when it comes out on DVD. If it's not out already, I think I better go get it. But yeah, that's one of those that'd be worth watching one more times. And Isaac, maybe you can show your children the Lego Movie. Any other movies, fellers?
Well, I haven't been to the theater in a while, but I did see a couple of movies, and I'll just touch on them very, very briefly because they're not really quote-unquote nerdy films. But 12 Years a Slave, amazing film, Lupita Nyong'o, completely deserving of the Best Actress Award. I was so happy she got it. But it's a grueling film, as you might expect it to be, but every American should see this film. It really – I was so filled with disgust at what, you know, what our you know, which it didn't even happen that long ago in the grand scheme of things, and
right.
You know, in the age of our country. But
well, for the longest
anyway,
time,
it's definitely a go ahead.
For the longest time, I thought that one was about marriage, but then I found out otherwise. So, I had to throw a little humor in that one because everybody I know that saw that movie, I haven't seen it yet. They have they said they have never left the last time they left a film feeling like that was Schindler's List, and you know, as emotionally dragging you down as possible, hating.
Yeah, it's rough. It is a rough watch. I mean, I'm not going to lie, but it's I'm very glad that I watched it. I don't know if I would watch it again, but it really is a very well made film and some great performances. I mean, Cumberbatch is in. I mean, the Batch is in this movie. You got to see anything that the Batch is in.
I didn't realize he was in that.
Yes,
isn't that every movie last year? Wasn't he in every one of them?
Yeah. Hey, as well he should be too. That man.
And I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it was
Michael
going
Fassbender,
through some. Oh yeah, Michael Fassbender. Yeah, that's another one that was in a lot.
Yeah.
But they're both brilliant.
Yeah. Well, all right. That's on my list to see, but I'll probably wait till it comes out on DVD so I can see it in the privacy of my home and hate on the Whitey at home. I mean,
well, it just came out, so you can go rent it at the video store anytime.
Okay.
Now, the other one I saw that just came out recently, and this is – okay, any guys who are married or in relationships are going to thank me for this, okay? Go rent Enough Said. It stars, it's James, I think it's James Gandolfini's last role that he ever did.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That's correct.
And, yep, and Elaine from Seinfeld, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, mm-hmm. She's really the main character. And well, I mean, it's I don't want to say she is the main character, although she's it's definitely from her point of view. But James Gandolfini is you know definitely a substantial character as well. And it's a romantic drama, which you say the word romantic, and I'm going to do a 180 in the other direction because 99% of these movies, romantic dramas, romantic comedies, if it's got romantic in it, it means that the A, that the guy is a jerk, mm-hmm. That he B, that he at the end of the movie realizes the errors of his ways and changes to suit the expectations of the woman who is perfect and needs not change in any possible way, mm-hmm. and is right about everything. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I don't need that in my life. It's a load of bull. I understand why they make these things because they're catering to a female audience, and this is what a lot of females want to see. So that's fine, but I don't have to watch it, and I refuse to. But this is very different. Mm-hmm. This in this movie, Julie Louis-Dreyfus's character actually is the one who makes the mistake. Imagine that. And it's about trying. It's about the folly of trying to change other people to meet the personal expectations of perfection. It's about not listening to other people's opinions about someone else and letting them influence your own opinions. There's a lot of really good things going on in this movie, and the acting. Julia Louis-Dreyfus and James Gandolfini are both just spectacular. The fact that they weren't nominated for Best Actors in this year's Oscars is a shame, especially considering that Gandolfini's not going to get any more nominations.
Right.
But anyways, definitely worth seeing. Yeah. Guys will thank me.
All right. I just might have to – I'll check – well, if it weren't for James Gandolfini, I might not have seen it. But I always liked his stuff. I love The Sopranos and, you know
– Oh, yeah.
But, well, see, and like you said about the woman always being right and the guy's the one that changes it. This is like watching any 80s movie where the geeky girl with the glasses is going to ditch the glasses and be hot by the end of the movie. You know, yeah. What's going to happen, you know? And I'm with right. you on that. That's why I don't go see those romantic comedies, romantic dramas, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's man bashing. I don't need that.
Yeah. Yeah, so all right. I might have to check it out. I was actually interested in it anyway because it was James Gandolfini's last role, and yeah. That had me intrigued as it was.
I have one more thing I want to add about the movie.
Okay.
Things first.
Okay, go ahead.
So, I'm on Facebook right now on the Loot Crate page. there's basically these, I forget what they're called, Venn diagrams, and it shows. Who owns the character rights to Marvel? Like, what company?
Uh-huh.
So, Marvel Studios owns the Avengers, Punisher, Power Pack, Ghost Rider, Black Panther, Daredevil, Elektra, Blade, Ant-Man, Cloak and Dagger, Doctor Strange, and Luke Cage.
Okay.
However, 20th Century Fox owns the Fantastic Four, Silver Surfer, and all the other X-Men like Cable, Wolverine, Deadpool... And then Sony Pictures with Spider-Man and Venom. Lionsgate Entertainment owns Man-Thing. Ooh, and then like Universal that. Pictures owns Namor, aka the Submariner.
Yeah.
And then Stan Lee's all on his own, just out here outside the circle. So, and then you got Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver, kind of like in the Venn diagram middle part of the of the 20th Century Fox and Marvel Studios.
Well, because they are X-Men.
Yeah.
So what are you saying? You want to get them all together and make one big, huge movie?
Yes. That's what they should just do.
See, that's a problem. You'd never be able to get the studios to... I mean, all the other studios, they're all going to say, no, we own this property. We're going to make our own movies. But at the same time...
I wonder if they ever realize that they would all make a bunch of money if
I know.
They worked together.
All you got to do is look at the success of the Avengers and say, wow, they knew how to make
Actually,
it right.
On the top five franchises, Avengers is the second to last being Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man is the top, and Iron Man and X-Men are third and then second, yeah.
Are you talking about in comic books?
No,
in the movies?
Yeah, domestic gross.
Wow.
Well, think about that, though. I mean, there's only been one Avengers movie that broke box office records, whereas how many Spider-Man movies have there been now? Five?
Yeah. Well, honestly, the first three didn't. I don't think they count.
What are you talking about? Toby was a better actor.
What? We're going to have to part ways on this because Andrew Garfield, nope,
No, come on. Nope. Well, see, at least Andrew Garfield doesn't have the synthetic thing coming out of his body. Like the real comic.
Yeah, but at least Tobey Maguire knows how to change his face and act.
Wow.
Oh, you're saying Andrew Garfield is the Kristen Stewart of, of Spider-Man? Just saying.
That was a low blow. That was really a low blow. That was uncalled for, sir.
I had to turn in my nerd card for that one, I think, because I put down here. Yeah.
Why don't they make a
the only thing
book,
I
though?
The only thing I have to say is Emma Stone.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and you know what?
She can make anything watchable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, she's very attractive and appealing and all that good stuff. She knew the role. She knew what Gwen Stacy was about. And that totally surprised me. At least, if not her as an actress, but at least the writers of that movie, they knew what Gwen Stacy was about. And even Dennis Leary playing Captain Stacy, they knew. He knew. It's, you know, they knew the character. And I really appreciated that in the Andrew Garfield versions. So
it kind of just shows how much comic books has infiltrated the mainstream society.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it used to be a real niche type of thing to be into, but anymore, everybody knows who Spider-Man is. Mm-hmm. People know these things now.
Well, yeah, I remember I've collected Spider-Man comics for I don't know how long, and I was like one of the few. Every time I go to the comic book store, it's like anything with Spider-Man, they'd pull for me. And I go to the comic book store, and I'd be like the only one walking out with Spider-Man. Everybody else was walking out with X-Men. And now, after 2001 was it when they came out with it? After that, boom, everybody collected Spider-Man comics. So
yeah,
it made a world of change. But, hey, Spidey's everyman hero, so.
I want to see a Submariner and Man-Thing movie already.
I'd love to see Man-Thing. Man-Thing's awesome, if you haven't read those. He's almost, him and Ghost Rider could team up. So, but, yeah, and the thing is, and look at it this year with the comic book hero movies, you're talking about, you know, they're saturated. You got Captain America coming out next month. You've got Guardians of the Galaxy coming out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. There's a couple other Marvel. Help me out, Isaac.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man 2 is coming out. I mean, this year is going to be another year of comic book movies. And look at Guardians of the Galaxy.
I've got to ask.
Uh-huh.
Did anybody care about the Guardians of the Galaxy movie until this trailer?
You know, I don't think they did. I mean, I read the comic.
The trailer got me very excited, though.
Because I already liked the Guardians of the Galaxy, and I wanted to see it mainly because I knew Groot had to be in it.
Yeah, Groot.
He is Groot.
Well, we saw, who was it that did the, Michael Clark Duncan in the Disney XD animated version. They had Guardians of the Galaxy appear on one of the Spider-Man, Ultimate Spider-Man cartoons. They had Michael Clark Duncan do the voice of Groot. Just, and it was like right before he died that you know, he did the recording session, and they released it about a year after he died. But him playing Groot, Isaac and I just had a blast watching that episode, because I mean, all he says is "I am Groot," you know, that's all he says.
And just being a small, most of the time, a small, useless stick in a pot.
Yeah, and then he grows up to be the big tree when he really needs to kick butt. So, but that sold me with Michael Clark Duncan doing the voice. Now they got, is it Vin Diesel that's doing Groot?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's right.
So that ought to be interesting. And then, I mean, I don't know if he'll be able to out-act Michael Clark Duncan. I mean, he only had one line, but let me tell you, he could deliver the line, and you knew what he was meaning each time. Although, you know, in the comics, Rocket Raccoon's the only one that can interpret it. But, yeah, and you're right. Nobody was interested in Guardians of the Galaxy. It was one of those side issues, but Marvel said, let's do it anyway. Yeah, well, you know, I guess as Marvel owns, yeah, and they said, let's do it anyway. And yet DC Comics are saying, I don't think a Wonder Woman comic would work.
I know. It's like, what are they thinking? This is so crazy.
This
is absolutely the most mystifying thing.
Yeah.
The fact that they cannot get a comic book world off the ground in theaters. They can't get a Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman into a Justice League film. They can't do it.
I know. Well, at least they don't act like they're doing it. Now, here's the thing. They've, you know, the new Superman movie, first it was going to be a new Superman movie. Then they announced it's going to be Superman, Batman. And then it's like, oh, everybody's like, that ought to be cool. Then they've Gal Gadot, they've cast her as Wonder Woman. So now you got three of these members. And it's like, they may be building into a Justice League movie. And they're just not releasing it.
Yeah, but how much more elegant is the Marvel solution? They had a roadmap from day one, where they would do three movies and then, you know, another three movies and then the Avengers. And after the Avengers, we'll do this many movies and this many movies and then Avengers 2.
Yeah.
I mean, they have all this all so meticulously planned and everything builds on what comes before.
Yep.
Yeah.
And DC just cannot seem to do it.
Yeah, you're absolutely.
It seems so slipshod and so haphazard.
Yeah.
And also, something to mention is that even though the companies own different character rights, the Marvel Studios can still make the Avengers movie and have, like, Ghost Rider, Blade, and Daredevil in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they still, yeah, being with the rights aspect, they still can work with what they have to make an awesome movie. And DC Comics, they right now, as far as I understand, they own all the rights to all their characters. So just dump them out.
What's
there.
What's the problem?
Exactly, yeah. Why aren't you on this?
Isaac was just talking about Quicksilver and the Scarlet Witch being owned by two different companies, technically.
Yeah.
They're managing to make that work. Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch are going to be in both the X-Men films and Avengers 2.
Mm-hmm.
They managed to make that work.
Yeah.
And this is with two competing studios who each want their own slice of the pie. Marvel can somehow figure out how to get that work to work, but DC, with everything being in-house, can't make it happen.
Now, however,
and there's no way you can tell me that a Wonder Woman film would not work.
Oh, I know.
You look around, and there are several female-centric films that are very successful.
Mm-hmm.
People will go see movies with women leads. You just got to have the balls to put it out there.
Yeah.
But think about this. I mean, this is a generation, the nerd moviegoers right now, for the most part, grew up watching Linda Carter as Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I mean, she is burned into all of our collective consciousness. And I mean, she's this hot Amazonian woman who, you know, kicks ass. And I mean, what's not to like? Why? I can't fathom the meetings that are going on at, you know, in the boardrooms at the studios. They were saying, no, Wonder Woman just won't hold a movie on her own. What are you talking about? It's because you have a license to print money.
Yeah.
And yet we're getting a movie with a talking raccoon and a walking tree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Marvel
so she
says
has a lasso.
Well, she has a lasso and an invisible plane. So, so
that's insane. That's just absolutely insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing you brought up there, Eric, was, you know, she had her TV series and I mean, like you said, she's in everybody's brain. Everybody in the world knows Wonder Woman pretty much. If you don't, there's something wrong.
Yes.
I mean, if they bring that into a movie, they're like, oh, cool. Nostalgia wise, kids wise, you know, young women will go watch this to see a hero. I'm thinking anyway, but look at the other aspect of it, that ingrained in our brain is what would make that successful. Look at the Hulk. They had the TV series. People knew Lou Ferrigno. You know, that was the Hulk. They brought out three different Hulk movies, three different actors in each one of them, each one of them totally different, but yet they were each successful, you know, because of that, you know, our prime, the 70s TV series kept it in our brains. I'm thinking anyway.
So. Oh, the 70s was such, for me, that looks like such a cheap movie time. Like, they all look so hilarious just to watch how they compare to movies nowadays.
Well, yeah.
Oh,
but they were cutting
like
edge
we advanced
at the time.
On technology through a million years or something.
You're lucky to be alive this time.
No, I'm not. I hate my generation.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, let's be real. The special effects were pretty janky.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, what's most important is, do you have a good story? Do you have a story with a beginning, middle, and end?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have engaging characters? And do you have something to say?
Yeah.
And if you don't have that, then all the beautiful special effects in the world will not save you.
True.
That is completely why we have a new Doctor Who series now. Because the old Doctor Who, the special effects were horrible. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the sets were tiny. I mean, you had half the episode them running through the same hallway over and over and over again. But they had good stories and they had good actors in them. And so anyone with an imagination could get past that.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, this is a really good show. And that's the reason we have it now. Now they have really decent special effects on the show, which is helpful. But honestly, the first three or four seasons the writing was not where it needed to be. But anyway, that's its own tangent. But I did want to say, though, as far as the DC properties go, have you guys heard that they're doing a Constantine TV movie which might be made into a series. Have you guys heard about this?
No, but that'd be interesting. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I wasn't real happy with Keanu Reeves as Constantine. I remember when they cast him in the movie, I was just like, Keanu Reeves really as Constantine? I mean, of all the you have all these British actors being cast as American characters, and you cast an American as probably the most patently British character ever. I mean, other than Sherlock Holmes, I still have a problem with that. It's just and it's not a terrible movie, but it's still, I mean, Keanu Reeves just. That's horrible casting.
I think they were playing off the the Matrix, because it still had a Matrix like feel to it.
Yeah,
the Constantine movie did. So I think they're. But still
have you guys read any Constantine comics?
I have read a couple.
I don't even know who that is.
I forgot what the name of the comic series was. It wasn't Constantine.
Hellblazer.
Yes, there.
Hellblazer. Yes. Yes. And he was a character that was spun off of Swamp Thing, which is which is another great comic series, or at least it was under certain writers. And I haven't read that many comics, but my friend Tim Coker, who was supposed to be here today, got me turned onto those comics back in college, and so I read a lot of them, and then that got me started on the Hellblazer. But Constantine is a great character, great premise, and really, really dark. I mean, those comics are really, really dark. So I'm really excited to see what they do with it, especially considering that Neil Marshall is doing the TV movie, and he's the guy who did The Descent and Dog Soldiers, and I don't know if anyone saw Centurion or Doomsday, but I've seen all of those movies, and I was impressed with all of them. And he also directed a couple of episodes of Game of Thrones. So he's... he's an interesting guy to pick to do this. So anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there because it's supposed to be airing sometime in 2014, but we'll see.
Speaking of Britain, they should make a Captain Britain movie or a Union Jack movie.
Yeah, there you go. Another
from Marvel.
Another Marvel heroes, because they do need some British heroes. America can't have them all. And actually, in the comic books, the way they started out, the British heroes was after American heroes were already, in full effect. So maybe they'll do that. But, besides, the British always seem to do things better, well, TV-wise anyway, than we do here. All right, let's see here. Let's talk about TV while we're at it. Let's see, Tim, you're fairly new to the podcast. We have our chosen shows. As you know, Eric has Hannibal. But we also keep some regular shows that we watch on a regular basis that are somewhat nerdy. Do you have any that you follow on a regular basis?
Gosh, I have to be perfectly frank about television. I have not had cable in... 7 years now, and I do not miss it at all. I choose to binge watch on Netflix.
Yeah.
And so the stuff that I watch is probably going to be a season or two behind what everybody else is watching.
Well, then that's
you should watch Arrow.
Yeah, that's okay. That we won't let you down, or we won't put you down for that. But you should grab onto Arrow if it's. I'm pretty sure the first season is definitely on Netflix. But you should check that out. Especially if you're.
I do plan on watching that. That looks pretty good. It looks. I don't know. Some of it looks a little suspect, but I'm going to give it a shot.
I will say. I'll be honest. It did start out a little slow. It did, and then now that what are we in season two now? I believe they've actually
now they've got Deathstroke.
Yeah. Now they've added. They started adding in other characters from the comic books, and it's actually and I think we've talked about this before, where CW kind of had this thing. Well, we'll have superheroes, but no superpowers. They're getting away from that. They've got they're spinning off the Flash from the Arrow series, and then also Black Canary's on there.
I question the wisdom of that. I mean, you're making a superhero show. Why would you want to license a comic book property if you have no interest in showing superhero powers?
Yeah, that was Eric's question exactly.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, that was Eric's question exactly last time we brought this up. And you're right. It's like I never saw the appeal of Smallville because of that fact. I don't want to see a Superman.
I completely agree.
I don't want to see a Superman without his powers. But it looks like they've learned their lesson, because they're starting to get away from that, and actually they're sneaking in these little hints through the series now as to these people having superpowers and how they got them. So it's like, okay, we're going with – they're actually working in the right direction, it seems like. But Arrow's one you need to grab onto and enjoy the ride, because it's like I said, I will warn you, though, it does start out a little slow. But once they get to rolling, like I said, this season right now, it's just all everything's released. They got, like I said, Black Canary. They've got Deathstroke. They got Deadshot. They've got the Suicide Squad from the DC Comics. They've got you name it. They've got it all. They're all building up now. So I'm wondering if building this Justice League movie that we talked about earlier, if they might take the Green Arrow from this Arrow series and say, hey, he's already been developed. Let's use him now. So that's a. I think that's a possibility.
Well, since they seem to be following Marvel's cues, that's entirely likely because we've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is directly tying in even more so now coming up with the Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's real interesting to see how that's going to work out.
Yeah, because they're getting ready to introduce Sif and Lorelei from the Marvel comics. So, and then the next episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, Lorelei was in the end of the last episode, so she's already made her appearance.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And it's funny, she's the one that pretty much, if you're a comic book fan of Thor, she pretty much almost beat Thor, but only it wasn't through fists, it was through her able to, the seductress in her. So
feminine.
Are we talking about the woman who's appearing on the next Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode?
Yeah, remember at the end of the last one where they had Lorelei? Yeah. And she got the guy that just got married and got him to drive her off. Yeah, that's Lorelei. She teamed up with Loki and took Thor's power. So, but we'll see what happens. Yeah, you're right. They're tying that in, so maybe DC can look at that and use that in the movie. But Arrow, that's the one that Isaac and I watch. And also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like Eric just brought up. That's another one we watch on a regular basis. Let's see. Well, is there anything that you are watching in your binge-watching, Tim, that you want to talk about?
Well, I do actually keep up with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Ah.
I make it a point to follow anything that Joss Whedon has his hands on.
Amen Woo-hoo. To that, brother.
Yeah, I think anything that he touches, he's a very interesting creator of entertainment,
mm-hmm.
and he surrounds himself with talented writers
mm-hmm.
and people who have a lot of passion for what they do. And so I have yet to find something that he's touched that hasn't been at the very least interesting to watch.
Yeah,
that's right.
The shame about him, but I think that world is turning on him, but he used to be, it's like he'd create these phenomenal series and they'd just be getting good or get everybody stuck in them. And then the network would cancel. Like, of course, everybody knows about Firefly. Yeah. And then the Dollhouse, is like, God, that just got awesome. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. So, yeah. But I think that tide is turning on him because anything he touches is golden. Thanks to the Avengers, I think, a lot of it.
Yeah.
But,
Well, I think everything he touched was golden before the Avengers, but now he's proven that he can make someone a lot of money.
Yeah,
and so people are a lot more willing to ride with something that he created or has a hand in.
Is he 007 or something?
Pretty much. Awesome. They're going to give him a license to kill soon. I mean, that guy. I mean, they should if not. But Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, look at that. Who would have thought a side venture of Avengers? The guys that were in the backgrounds. These are basically the guys that were putting out the fires that were caused by Iron Man, the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Now they got their own TV series, and thanks to Joss Whedon, So,
well, I mean, when you put it like that, it sounds kind of boring.
Well,
the show kind of can be sometimes.
Yeah, you're right there. The first episode, when I watched it, I was like, oh, this is perfect comic book campiness. And yet the first remark I heard from someone that was not a comic book fan, like, man, if they have any more sarcasm, I'm just going to leave. I'm sorry, that's what comic books are about, is some good sarcasm.
Well, so, Marvel comic books, I don't know about DC, but...
Yeah, they got it. They got some. But yeah, Joss Whedon, did you watch Dollhouse, Tim?
I did. I have to say that falls under the interesting but not very good category.
I think it had potential, but they just wouldn't... I don't think they... really let him run with it.
I think that it got a slow start, but once after the first season, maybe somewhere in the middle of the second, it's been a while, but after a while it really started to come into its own, and like you said, Gil, I was really starting to get into it mm-hmm. right when they canceled it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Now that you see what gets me is when I see the actors from that series in something else, like security guard, so to speak, at the Dollhouse. He's now on Blacklist, as the main FBI agent. I can't think of his name now, but anyway.
Oh, that, yeah.
And it's like, oh, I love seeing these guys. Oh, he was in Dollhouse. Awesome. So, but it's just one of those little side ventures I have of watching people in other favorite shows. But anyway, yeah, Dollhouse was one of those Whedon character or Whedon creations that just it had its potential, but I don't think the network let it. Well, since it's been like 20 years, Tim, I've asked, in fact, Eric, I want you to jump in on this too. Did you guys ever see the TV or the, I'm sorry, the American version of Life on Mars with Harvey Keitel?
No.
No?
I did not. Now, I did watch the first few episodes of the British version.
Uh-huh.
But I did not see the American.
That's one thing, and I think it's just American television in general, and they seem to think that the American audience is stupid. You know, it's like, okay, they're not getting it. Let's cancel it. And I think that's one of the problems with American television that's going on. But however, it is getting smarter. Like, for example, and this is perfect segue into Hannibal. I watched the season premiere. This last couple days ago. Yeah. I finally watched that. I got to admit, I got a little bored about the middle part of it, but I gave it time, and by the end of the series, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch this. So it was enough to keep, especially the gory scenes that they kept showing on, like when they showed showed the previous season, that really got me going. But the American television is I think they're on a change, and one of the things, like Hannibal, they're allowing a long form storytelling to take place. And finally,
yeah, and I was wondering if it would be able to hook you, having not watched all of the first season. I don't think that it's by any means required, but definitely gives you, you know, if you found it interesting, you know, I would, you know, maybe try to rent it or see if it's on iTunes just to get caught up, because there's so much character stuff that happens in the first season leading up to that, you know, season opener that was last weekend.
Yeah,
I'm glad you're watching though.
Yeah, on demand, that's where I. Since I missed the episode when it was broadcast live, we on our cable, we have On Demand. And I went on there. I was like, all right, I'm going to watch this. But before I did, I forget what they called it. But anyway, it was a summary of what happened in the first part, the first season. And it was about 15 minutes long. And it showed a good summary. So it was like as if I caught up with what was going on. And they really hit the high points. And I was like, oh.
That's good.
So I think I will if I can. Go back and watch a few of the episodes, but I think there were parts of it I just kind of got bored, and I actually just walked into the kitchen without pausing the television to get me something to drink. I said, I'll catch up with it when I get back in there. It was just moving slow, but by the end of it, I'm like thinking, the storyline I felt good with. Like, how's that?
Well, there's a lot of not double entendre, but there's a lot of subtext.
Yeah.
Going on in the dialogue that refers back to things that were either, you know, happened or were talked about in the first season, like the conversation between Hannibal and his psychiatrist, who was played by
Gillian Anderson.
Come on, of course, yeah, Scully,
Agent Scully. That took me by surprise. I got to admit that. I'm like, hey, that's that chick that posed naked with that eel.
Huh?
You didn't see that? You didn't see that? They had an ad campaign about protecting the oceans, and Gillian Anderson posed nude with an eel wrapped around her shoulder.
Ooh, no, but I need to Google that immediately.
Yeah, Google that. Gillian Anderson and eel. So
I will.
So, yeah. And then, of course, she was.
A lot of their conversation referred to things that he's admitted to her previously. But,
okay.
It's a good show. Stick with it.
All right. I'm giving it at least a few more episodes. And I'll probably be hooked by then. So, let's see here. Oh, Helix.
Yes.
Tim, I know you're going to probably be out on this. It's a new series on Sci-Fi. I caught up with it this morning. As a matter of fact, I had the last. Basically, what happens is Blue Bloods is on, and my wife has to watch that, so I have to record my show, which is Helix, at the same time. And so I got to watch it this morning, and they're finally getting somewhere. They're talking more about what this virus thing is that they've created and what its purpose is, but they still haven't told you what it is, but they're actually, it looks like they're getting ready to break it open any time now. But Helix is a really, I don't know, when I first started watching it, I kept getting remember the TV series or not the TV the movie The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing, where I got that feeling watching this. It's like it's some kind of virus that they uncovered under the ice, but or creature anyway. But now it's actually turning into something that was created. But now, as of today's episode, it's a bunch of immortals. I'm not sure where that's going with. Did you see the latest episode, Eric?
I haven't yet. It's recorded. Yeah. I'll watch it probably tonight.
I'm probably spoiling something for you, though, but they've got something about immortals.
Well, I mean, I knew the Hitaki wasn't aging, so it's right. Not, that's not really a spoiler.
Right. Well, there's apparently 500 immortals.
Wow.
With silver eyes. So that should tell you about Hitaki and, I can't remember the doctor's name. It turned out to be his daughter.
Right.
They're building onto something that's more than just a created virus. They're working onto mythology and all sorts of weird things with some immortals that are there's. And the thing, one of the guys, they find another person like them. He was, I'm trying not to give it away, but anyway, he reveals something about there can only be 500. It's almost like a Highlander. There can only be one, but there can only be 500. So they're expanding a little bit. But it's turning into be one of those another show that sci-fi seems to get right once in a while. You know, sure they're going to have their Sharknado or Sharktopus or whatever, but every once in a while they get a series right, like Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, I don't know that they're ever going to reach the high point that they got with Battlestar Galactica, but one can always hope. But speaking of that, does anyone watch or has watched Warehouse 13?
I watched a few episodes and I didn't really care.
I understand. It's very, very corny.
Yes.
There's a lot of cornball humor, but I like the characters and the writing can vary greatly. Sometimes the writing's very good. The writing is good when they're dealing with like interpersonal relationships and character development. When it comes to the plot, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that kept me watching the show all these seasons is the characters. I really like the characters, and I really like their interactions. But anyway, if this is their last season for unknown reason. I have no idea why they would be canceling the show, because from what I understand, it's one of their better rated shows. But that's Sci-Fi Channel for you.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
How many years has that been on?
Quite a few. It's been on at least 5, probably longer than that.
I'm thinking. I think that they're on like their 8th season.
Yeah,
for some
that's
reason,
probably
that sticks out. 8th season sticks out. So, yeah. Well, see, I saw it. Do you remember the TV series from? I think it was either the 80s or the 90s. The Friday the 13th TV series.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we're, yes.
Which had absolutely nothing to do with the movie. But.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it was basically on collecting these haunted items. That's what Warehouse 13 reminded me of every time
it
I
very much
watch
is, yes.
And I was like, oh, I've seen this before. It's going to be dumb. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. And I think that's why I didn't ever keep up with it. I've got friends that are huge fans. I guess, Eric, you're one of those friends that are huge fans too, I guess. So, and the people that like it, love it, you know? That's the thing.
But like I said, I love it, but I understand why people would not watch it and why it turns some people away. And you know, I'm very cognizant of the fact that it's not a perfect show and it's got a lot of problems. But the stuff that they do right, I like enough to keep me watching it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
I think a lot of it is carried on the backs of the actors. They're quite charming and
yes.
The characters are likable. But like Gil says, it doesn't do anything that I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
The show is perfectly acceptable. It's good entertainment. The writing is generally pretty decent. And, you know, to take it back to Joss Whedon, Jane Espenson is one of the creators of the show. She used to write a lot of the Buffy episodes.
And she was also a big writer on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well,
that explains
a lot. But yeah, I think the show is perfectly acceptable, but it just didn't really draw me in. I like the characters and I enjoyed their story, but it just didn't stick for me.
Yeah, same here. It's like when I watched it, it was like, yeah, it was okay. It was a good hour's worth of entertainment, but nothing to keep me want to tune in every single week. But like I said, the people that like it, they love it. You know, the ones that I've talked to, Eric, you, and then there's another guy I used to do the podcast with, Sean Mitchell. He and I are the ones that started this original whole Nerd Up podcast thing. But he loved the series, and so he was always constantly trying to get me to watch it, and I'd watch a couple episodes, and you know. Oh, hey, I got to take a little bit of pause here, guys, out of our conversation, even though we will be winding down probably pretty soon. But like I said, Nerd Day's coming up this Saturday. I promised people I'm giving away prizes while we're there, and the thing is, they have to listen to the podcast to find out how to get a prize. And one of the things is I said I would give some secret words. Now, during the movie review of 300 Rise of an Empire, that segment, I got one of the magic words in there. I'm going to go ahead. There's three magic words total. I'm going to go ahead and give the other two right now. So if you
can one of them be bum?
Bum.
Can be that for a dollar?
No. I've got them written down because I have to remember them.
Dang
it.
Actually, okay, if they do mention bum, they'll get a prize because of Tim, since he said that. And but the others, again, mention any of these magic words to me, and I will give you a prize. I will have a handful of prizes to give away. They range from board games to books. I've got some really cool sci-fi books to give away. In fact,
so you don't have any like Marvel action figures or anything?
No, unless you'll give me some.
I mean, we're going to Toys R Us. So.
But another one of the prizes I'm giving away here is from a mutual friend of ours, Tim and Eric. Peter Schmidt, he's written a book. And if you haven't read this book, guys, you need to get a hold of Peter and say, hey, sign me a copy. So, were you guys aware of his book?
Yes. In fact, you can go to my Facebook page, Gil, mm-hmm. and you can see what everybody in my family got for Christmas this year.
Is that right? Is that right? Nice. And it's a really good book. I don't want to say that it surprises me that Peter Schmidt can write this book. It surprises me that I know somebody of that caliber that can write this book is what it is. It's like, wow. Because it's real. I love the book. It reminded me of something Jim Butcher would do, but in a different realm. But anyway.
It is quite entertaining. I'd recommend it if you're a fan of sci-fi and fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You should definitely pick it up.
Yep.
I believe in supporting my friends, so yeah, I bought a few copies of it.
Nice. Well, I've got some that I got a couple of copies that I'm going to be giving away. Shadowhawk is the name of it, and one of them.
Summerhawk.
I'm sorry. Why was I thinking Shadowhawk? Summerhawk. Yes, because he's the Summerhawk, the reincarnation of Lancelot. Anyway, I'll have
spoilers.
A couple of those. Yeah, I'll have a couple of copies of giveaway, and all you got to do is mention the magic words. Bum is one of them. The other two are LARPers, and because they're going to be there. Now, what is it with you and LARPers? Every time I've said that word.
Sorry.
You just think of some nerdy kid that plays World of Warcraft that has, like, a fedora and a neck beard.
And a neck beard. Yes, and a neck beard. Anyway.
So he's LARPing as a World of Warcraft player. Okay, see that.
Yeah. Anyway, and also the other one is Magic, and I got that one because of Magic the Gathering. They're going to have a Magic the Gathering card tournament there, so sanctioned tournament as we speak.
Can I give secret word?
Oh, why not?
Ben Riley.
Hey, really? Since you're going to be there, it's Ben Riley. So, all right, Ben Riley. All right, there's your secret words, folks. Just mention any of those, and I'll give you a prize. I've got, like I said,
a secret word. We'll earn you my Marvel thing that I'm going to buy later
okay.
today.
You're going to buy a prize to give people, huh? All right. But I've got Summerhawk. I've got a book called They Don't Have Horses on the Moon, which is a very short novella about what if Walt Disney is unthawed and becomes president. And it's pretty darn interesting.
Wow.
It was written by a fellow in Australia who I was supposed to interview on this podcast, but our time differences never get us lined up. So, but anyway, it's
you're upside down down there. Anyway,
it is. I know it's hard. That was a part of it. Every time we'd get together on Skype, I'd have to turn my room up. Anyway,
you'd have to worry about him falling off the earth.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
That's how
it is. How that works, right?
Well, I will tell you that toilets flush the other direction down there. But anyway, neither here nor there.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
So now we have all the magic words out, and again, if you listen in the movie review of 300 Rise of the Empire, that section with Brandon and me, you'll hear another magic word. Just mention those, I'll give you a prize, and I might, for the first few, I might even give you your choice of which prize you want. So,
do they just come up, like, if there's a line, do they just come up and say the word, or do they say, like, I have a secret word that I got from the podcast, or
They have to come up to me and whisper it in my ear.
Whoa.
I don't know.
I mean, personal space bubble.
No kidding.
So mention those magic words. You get a free prize. And not only that, but you get a whole bunch of fun at Nerd Day. All right. So anyway, I had to take that pause, fellas. What else we got going on? What else you want to talk about? Anything in particular?
Did you see the last episode of Walking Dead, Gil?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. Well,
that was the episode with Daryl and what's her name, right?
Daryl and Beth. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, there seems to be a lot of controversy online I've been noticing about this episode. Now, me, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
To me, this is the type of episode that actually makes you care what happens when they get into these big zombie fights, because without them, it's, you know, well, without caring about the characters, this show would have been dead long ago.
Yeah.
But a lot of people online have been like really ripping into it, saying, you know, it was boring. And I was like, no, it wasn't boring. It was a good interpersonal episode. It's like, you know, they don't do a lot of those. They don't hit you over the head with them. Just every now and then you get the. Now, I agree that since the mid-season break, we've now gotten two of these. Well, three of them, I guess.
Yeah.
So I understand where they're coming from, that they, you know, they want some action, and yeah, maybe they should have spaced them out a little bit better. But I also understand where the writers are coming from. They, you know, they just had this big, huge explosion, you know, that's basically separated everyone, mm-hmm. Killed a lot of major characters, or at least a couple of major characters, and now, you know, our group is all fragmented, and they're getting used to being on their own, and how they're dealing with the fact that everyone else may be completely dead. So I understand why they're doing these episodes. And again, I also understand why some fans are getting kind of ants in their pants about it. And, you know, it's like, well, where's the action at? It's coming. You know, I have no doubt it's coming, you know, but I really liked the Daryl and Beth episode. I thought it was, you know, I mean, for forever now, we've been trying to find out what, you know, what Daryl was doing before the whole zombification happened.
Yeah.
And brace now, yourself. And now we know.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. Here's the way I feel. Any zombie movie ever made, and any zombie book ever written, if it's successful in any way, it's not about the zombies. It's about survival, and the characters that are surviving. That's, I mean, even go back to Night of the Living Dead. The zombies were hardly really shown, except, you know, like when they finally took over the house at the end. It was always and their situations. Right. And that's what makes a zombie. And this one here, it's a television series. So they have 1 hour to tell the story or to tell a story. And this one, they took this hour and they took the last couple episodes to talk about the characters and how they're surviving. Like Beth, she wanted her first drink. Daryl didn't want it to be peach schnapps. It had to be moonshine. So, and the thing is, it's, while that may be a little laughable section, that also gave you a little insight to Daryl's character. You know,
right?
You know, and absolutely. Then and you found out more about him in the as the episode progressed. And with those people that are complaining that there's no action, hold on. Like Isaac just said, brace yourself. It's coming. Still. I mean, look at the whole end of that where they tore down the prison walls. Look at all the zombies they had there. Cool. but you're right. I mean, they needed that development. Everybody needed to know Daryl because, A, he's not in the comics. You know, Daryl is – nobody knows his background story.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's
not.
Wow. They wrote – Norman Reedus auditioned, and they wrote the role just for him. He auditioned for the role of Merle. And Merle is in the comics. And they said, man, this guy's so awesome. We're just going to write him a role. And they did. And so nobody, even comic book fans, they don't know who Daryl is or where he came from.
Holy crap.
And so that's why they desperately needed that section. So, but I'm a strong believer in zombie movies are not about the zombies. They're about survival. And, in fact, the last week I interviewed Mark Wilson from Scotland. And he's got the movie or the book Dedenborough. About how the bubonic plague has mutated into a zombie-making thing, but when I asked him, I said, "What's the main character in your book?" And he really couldn't tell me. I said, "So it's survival, how those people are living day to day." He goes, "Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So, you know, it's about survival. Zombies are just there to have fun, and have us have fun too." So.
I think we really needed a little more insight into Beth's character too, because she's always been just. She's basically just been a what's-her-name's sister, Glenn's wife.
Yeah, Maggie.
Maggie. She's been Maggie's sister.
Yeah,
or that's about it.
Or the babysitter.
She's got a good singing voice.
Yeah, good singing voice, and the babysitter. So, then we got a little bit of insight on her, too, so... Yeah, and I think
especially since there are two other young blonde girls that are now on the show, it's like we need something to, you know, distinguish these characters a bit. Mm-hmm. Although she's not nearly as young as they are, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Well, plus that's another thing. I hope they get more into those two other girls that are in the series, because if you ask me, there's a huge creep factor there with those little girls, because I believe those little girls, or at least one of them, was the one killing the rats at the prison walls and feeding them to the zombies. And I think they can develop something. I'm hoping they do, because again,
I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah. So I'm thinking there's something creepy going on with those girls, or at least one of them for sure. So, but anyway, tomorrow night, next episode, Walking Dead. Can't wait. Can't wait at all.
Now, Walking Dead related, have either of you guys played the Walking Dead games on the PlayStation?
I played the first season. I haven't played any of the second season yet, but the first season was very good.
Yeah,
very good story.
I agree. I think the characters, it comes back to what Gil was talking about.
Are you guys talking about the game with Clementine and Lee?
Yes.
I haven't played those, but I do want to play them because I've seen plenty of walkthroughs.
Yeah, I have not been so protective of a video game character in a long time.
Yeah.
Clementine, I absolutely do not want anything horrible to happen to her.
The game is just brutal. I mean, it is really brutal at times.
The games make you feel more than the show does.
They
make you have more feels.
I would agree with that, yeah. But it does come down to characters are very important. If you don't have someone to care about, someone to latch on to in a property, then it's really not that engaging.
Now, I just have to say, on the flip side with the Walking Dead Telltale game, it does a good job of creating the illusion of choice, but the fact is that after you go back and play some of these decisions out to see what would happen if you choose the...
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes...
Yeah, but I don't think that that's as much of an issue, because they tell a really compelling story. I don't care that I can change it all that much. I just care that it's engaging and that it's well told.
I'm gonna have to check it out, Isaac.
I think Eric might have just lagged out. You guys, or at least Tim, do you know that the what's it called? The second season is out now, or the?
Yes, I'm holding off on that. I just want to play the whole thing straight through. I don't want to. I appreciate that they're doing it episodically. I think that's an interesting way to deliver the content.
Yeah.
I really want to sit down and play through it.
All right.
Straight through.
That's the thing, is that every episode that I've watched so far, like the end of them, have always ended on a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you don't get another episode for a few months at least. So.
Yeah. If they had it spaced so that they would come out closer together, I would be more than willing to play it in an episodic fashion. But they're just too far apart.
You really?
I don't want to wait that long.
I'm just going to say this. You can grow to love the new characters on the second season.
I'm anxiously awaiting that. They also have they've adapted a comic book property called Fables. Are you familiar with that comic book?
I've seen it. I've never read it. I keep meaning to.
I read it back in the day a bit. But I didn't stick with it for very long. It's a really intriguing idea. But they have, it's called, oh gosh, let me see. I can't remember the name of the game now. It's not called Fables. I don't remember the name of the game, but it's not called Fables because that was copyrighted. The Wolf Among Us, that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah. That's made by the same people, right? Telltale mm-hmm. Games? Yeah. I've only seen a little bit of that, but I'm not really all that interested in the series.
When it comes to video games, I love. There's been a few games that I love that have the long, the story to tell throughout the whole game. For the most part, I like. I don't know. I think I got addicted to like Pokemon, because I'm a collector, and a comic book collector. I've had all sorts of different weird collections, action figures, and that type of video game has always got me. Pokemon, for example, because you're collecting all these Pokemon. Now, when it comes to fighting and stuff like that, I've never really been into those types of games, and I've tried. The only one I really liked was Destroy All Humans. We were just talking about that the other day, Isaac and I were, but and that was a long-form story video game. That's the only one I've really enjoyed, so, and that's been a while, so.
Well, I'm currently playing the Lego Marvel game, and...
Oh, so are we.
Oh, my gosh, isn't that fun?
It is. Oh. It totally took me by surprise.
Eric's calling. I'll get him back on.
All right.
Here he is.
Hey, my power just went out with no warning, for no reason, just went boop. There went everything.
Oh, no. No, no.
Well, he didn't miss much. We're talking a little bit.
We're talking about video games now, but yeah, the Lego Marvel games, what we just jumped on. So, Eric, catch up with us.
All right.
Let's see. But yeah, the Lego. Yeah, it totally took me by surprise, Tim. I got it for Isaac, or he bought it for Christmas for him through his Christmas money, and I sat there and watched him play this, and I'm like, I want to play. And now we're going off on the missions, and it's a great long form story. And plus side missions, so.
You know, they should make more Lego sets based on it. Like, I'm at Toys R Us's website right now, kind of. They've got new sets that are based on the Lego movie, like, or not the Lego movie, the Lego Marvel video game. Oh. And you know how they have the Doc Ock set at our Walmart with the Ultimate Spider-Man Doc Ock?
Yes.
Well, there is one that actually has the Lego Marvel video game Doc Ock with the bull haircut.
Oh.
So, I'm just going to say this right now. They should make Carnage already as a real Lego.
Yes. What's your what intrigued you about that game, Tim?
Oh, me? I'm kind of like you. I'm an impulsive collector. Mm-hmm. And so finding all those hidden items.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, exactly.
I'm so obsessive about it.
Yep. And that's exactly what got me when Isaac started playing it. I'm like, oh, you get all these gold bricks? Okay. What was the other... you collect all the
heroes.
You
unlock the characters.
Unlock all the characters. And then, of course...
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, being another thing, I'm a huge fan of Deadpool, the comics. I read Deadpool every chance I can. And he is, like, one of the main narrators of the game. And I've loved that aspect of it.
Actually, he's the main narrator of, like, the side missions.
Yeah.
But... In the main story of the game, he does make a little Easter egg appearance in some parts.
Yeah.
So.
And again, yeah, it's a totally surprising game. You think of it, and I, you know what, Tim, it goes back to what we said about the Lego movie. Totally took me by surprise. Just it's like, okay, I'm ready to watch a silly thing about or play a silly game with Legos, but no, this is kind of fun. So.
Especially considering the fact he can grow into like a giant version of Venom and just wreak havoc throughout the entire town.
Oh yeah, that's good times. But I gotta say, the folks, you know, just to get away from the entertainment aspect and get more toward the business, mm-hmm. which is so much more fun to talk about, right?
Oh yeah, sure.
but the folks who manage their branding and their marketing, they are so intelligent because. They've managed to parlay something that is part of everybody's childhood,
mm-hmm.
and everybody has Lego bricks.
Right.
They've made that such a dominant brand, and it's branched out into so many other forms of entertainment now. I think it's just – it's really an ingenious marketing ploy.
Yeah.
Because it's branched out into TV and movies and video games, and it's
and
really become – Yeah.
Lego my Echo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's just really fascinating to see something that is so well done. You know, going back to the Marvel formula, someone who can take their brand and branch it out and grow it organically. I think it's genius.
Well, I think they mainly did it because there's been all the Lego Batman games and all the other like Lego Star Wars, Lego.
Well, I know that you and I, Isaac, we started out on the Lego Batman game on the Nintendo DS.
Yeah,
and it's like, we were totally surprised. First of all, Batman, we liked a DC character, and it was just kind of fun to play.
Yeah, and that's probably why Marvel finally wanted to get back to beating DC in everything, like they always do.
That's true. And can we talk about how much of a comic relief Batman was in the Lego movie?
Oh, my gosh. I'm Batman. Who was it? Will Arnett. Yeah, Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, yeah.
I don't think they could have picked a more perfect person. Because, I mean, his, you know, all his acting, it's What? How do I want to put it?
Darkness. Yeah. No parents.
Will Arnett. He's serious, but you know he's comic relief. You know his seriousness is the funny part, and that's the way it branched over. You know, like when Arrested Development. You know, he was such a, he thought himself as being serious, but everybody else laughed at him, and that's the way it was in the Lego movie. So, I don't know how to put that.
Well, it takes a lot of discipline as a performer. I mean, Eric's done a lot of acting. I mean, you know, to be funny and still as a character be completely serious. I mean, that's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Think of it this way, Eric. I remember Eric played the role of Satan. And
oh my God!
And Tim, I believe you were God in that scene. No, that Paxton was God.
No.
You were God's assistant.
Patrick was my assistant, my assistant demon or whatever.
Yeah,
God
Herkimer.
Was right.
God,
wait, were you God?
God was Paxton
no, was...
Guy, and Tim was God's assistant. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right.
So, ironically enough, this week I just posted some photos on my Facebook page from that show.
Yeah,
oh,
I
missed those. I saw some of them. I didn't see that one. I'll have to check. And Peter Schmidt, the author of Summerhawk, mm-hmm. was the H.G. Wells type character, who was the human. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Gil did all the music for it.
I did the sound design. There we go. See it all. See it's all synchronicity, buddies.
Isn't it?
But that's what I was going to say. Is like that was a role that Eric, even though I think that had. There were moments that Paxton had some good laughs, but the Satan thing had some good laughs, but Eric was playing it serious. You know, he was a serious Satan. He was seriously wanting to take this guy's soul. But, and that's it. But yet at the same time, it was hilarious. Well, the play was hilarious anyway. So what was your character's name, Tim? Do you remember?
No,
Castiel.
No,
yeah, exactly.
Castiel.
That's it. I'm just as devastatingly handsome as he is.
I know, yeah. It's the internet. We can pretend what we want to pretend.
See, that was acting right there.
Genius. But, yeah, I was trying to think of the name of the character. But, anyway, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. This is a pretty good long podcast. And one thing, we got to get Tim Coker. We're probably going to go another half hour longer when we get him involved in this whole thing. But eventually we're going to all team up again, and hopefully next weekend. I got to cut it short because – people only listen for so long. No matter how much fun we're having.
It's too late to cut it short. You're going to have to cut it long.
Yeah, I guess so. Trouble I have all the time.
Just breaks the laws of physics.
So, all right, guys. Well, I tell you what, we got to end this podcast. Actually, we got to end this segment because then we're going to go into a segment where we're talking about the movie 300, Rise of an Empire. By the way, what's her name? Lena Headey or Headley? She's
Headey.
There we go. I knew that. She is the only recognizable actress I know in this movie. But let me tell you, if you guys get a chance, go see it. It's full of blood, lots of blood. So, but anyway, segment coming up. Brandon and I are going to review that film. We saw it at the Robinson Eagle Theater. Don't forget, come down to Nerd Day the 15th. Mention one of those magic words, get a free prize, and enjoy some nerdy stuff all day long. So for this segment of the podcast, I'll sign off here. I'm Guilty Wilson. You guys, hey, thanks for joining me, all right?
Thanks for having
me. President Barack Obama.
No problem.
Now we can just get that Ukraine situation. All right, we'll be right back here after this talking about 300 Rise of an Empire. That's the Nerd Up podcast so far. Nerd Up. All right, it's time for the movie review section of the Nerd Up podcast. I'm here with, this is Guilty Wilson, of course, and I'm with...
Brandon Bell.
That's right. Brandon and I just saw 300, Rise of an Empire. I'm adjusting levels as we go here because I'm a little loud. Anyway, I'll tell you what. For my first thought about the whole movie is that that's a lot of blood. That's a lot of blood. Anyway, based on Frank Miller's graphic novel, Xerxes, it's not really necessarily a sequel to 300. Mm-hmm. It runs alongside it for the first half of the movie, actually. But it's like what happens next and like an ongoing history. Frank Miller took a lot of things to make a graphic novel a lot more graphic. So it's not necessarily, if kids,
It's not a history book. Just keep it at that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Now, the only actor that I recognized was Lena Headey. You know her from the Terminator TV series, and she's been in a few other things too. She's always pretty badass. And she's the wife of Leonidas in this, and of course, Leonidas is dead. But for the first half of it, he's not even there, but he's spoken of. But anyway, so the whole premise of the movie, based on Xerxes the Persian invading Greece and trying to take over Greece, and the Greeks, you know, with their democracy and all, fighting back for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, freedom isn't free. So anyway, so what did you think of the movie, first of all, Brandon?
I liked it. I mean, you know, not as great as 300, but
I don't, you know, it, that 300 had a the guy that played Leonidas, I can't remember his name. It's going to kill me, and Eric's probably going to kill me because he's going to hear this and say, "Gil, you idiot." Can't think of his name, but oh my gosh, his whole "This is Sparta" thing became a meme, and, you know, and he really made that role burst. And in this movie, there's nothing like that.
It was lacking that, but it's still a great movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Still definitely. A great movie. Don't get me wrong there. Still great, must see movie.
Yeah, Themistocles, yeah, that guy. The leader of the Greeks. He didn't have any standout moments really through the movie. Yeah. And it's like, but it's a great, like you said, it's still a great movie.
Yeah.
Themistocles.
Yeah.
Themistocles. That's it. Yeah. Those Greek names always get me.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, the adopted sister of Xerxes, Artemisia, she was badass too.
Yeah, she was.
She, apparently she was Greek and was left to die and picked up by a Persian and raised by a Persian. Mm-hmm. And that's the history behind her, at least according to this mythos.
Yes.
But anyway, she becomes like the leader of the Persian navy, and Themistocles and her are head to head. And once again, the Spartans come to save the day, though.
Yes.
So, spoiler.
Spoiler throughout this whole thing, yes.
But anyway, well, what was some of your favorite moments of the movie?
Some of my favorite moments was a lot, actually. A lot of the battles, I mean.
Yes.
But in this one, once again, spoiler here, it's a lot of Navy-style battles, water battles.
Yep.
And just the whole premise of it was neat to see. I mean, if they, I don't know if they went historically accurate.
Probably not.
You know what I mean? I mean, ship-wise.
Yeah.
It was still neat to see how it could have operated.
Yeah, I mean, well, and the thing that got me was like the Persian, that oil ship.
Oh, yes.
I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to spoil it, but that's just a cool idea and concept.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I'm pretty sure that's a Frank Miller creation. I don't think it's a historical accuracy, but it was cool the way they used it. And the Persians, being from the Middle East, you know, they'd have a lot of oil.
Yeah. So,
that's why they did that. But, man, the naval battle aspect of it, man. I mean, that's all it was pretty much toward the last half of it.
And the whole horse riding, I'm not going to say too much about it. That was about epic, Aaron.
I will have to say, no CGI was harmed in that sequence. Oh my, you're right though. It was phenomenal. It was fun to watch. I mean, you know, and the thing is, there's this movie, they had a great story, their great plot, great writing, great dialogue. I mean, everything was an epic speech. But there wasn't any standout one-liners like in 300, but it was all well written. Huge CGI effects throughout the whole thing. Again, I remarked at the end of the movie, it's like it's amazing how one sword slash can create a gallon of blood.
I mean, it looks like a gallon, but you know, comic book style.
Yeah, but the CGI, I mean, that pretty much made that movie.
Yeah.
Now let's take another. There's another movie that's going to be completely CGI based, and it's going to be 100% special effects, and that's the new Transformers movie coming out. And that one right there, it's not going to have the plot, the dialogue, the great acting. It's just going to be CGI, cool effects. Now, okay, granted, Shia LaBeouf's not in this one, but so if you want to contrast the two, basically this one has not only the great CGI and great special effects, but it has the dialogue and stuff to back it up.
Yes.
So there's your difference there. Now, once again, by the way, we saw this at the Robinson Eagle Theater, and it is showing through the weekend all the way through next week, and they got the 3D and 2D. We saw the 2D because we went and saw this on the preview night before they released it fully for the general public. I mean, it was open to the general public, but the weekend, it was on a Thursday night, and the weekend is whenever they opened the 3D and 2D versions. I don't know if it had been any different. 3D and 2D movies, there's nothing that really makes me want to see a 3D movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they're okay. There's nothing extravagant.
It seems like it's forced anymore.
It does. It really does. But this one, I can see. I mean, you could tell in the battles it was supposed to be 3D.
Yeah, and some of the points where they had, like, the sword tilting down at somebody's head. I mean, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But a lot of it, you're either going to get water in the face or blood in the face.
Yeah. Or, and did you notice that there was a lot of sparks and dust flying around through the whole movie?
That was probably added in there for the 3D.
For the 3D, I'm sure it was. But I sat there watching. I'm like, gosh, they got real dusty, because they go into a room and there'd be like dust particles floating throughout the place. It was made for the 3D aspect.
Yeah. And the sparks, I mean, you could see it kind of coming off of swords.
Yes, I'm talking more of the sparks like from the campfires.
Oh, yeah.
And they're floating.
The crackling.
Yeah, and the floating around everywhere. I'm like, that's a lot more sparks than you expect.
You see a lot of sparks, though, during the battles as well.
Yeah.
The swords hitting, or arrows hitting the helmet.
Yeah.
I mean, some of that I don't see, but, some of it I could see when, a couple swords.
They comic booked it up. Really, you got to look at it that way.
Yeah.
Very well. There's some moments that are Oscar type moments, but I don't really see this one winning any Oscars.
Yeah.
Maybe for CGI or something, but again, it's a world of difference from what's going to be coming out with the Transformers.
Especially, do not take the little ones. No.
It's quite graphic in all aspects.
Yeah, they're just one little bitty part.
Once again, though, we do have to say and we have to praise the Robinson Eagle Theater. And again, we went on a Thursday night, which is free popcorn night.
Yep.
Bring your own container and you can get free popcorn.
Yeah, I have my little Angry Birds bucket.
got to bring the bucket and you can have free popcorn. I love Thursday nights at Robinson Eagle Theater. Of course, I love any night that I can go see a movie there because it's just extremely comfortable. And again, the prices are not that bad. They're not,
they're going to go up by a whole quarter.
They have to raise it, but just by a whole quarter.
Yep.
So we can live with that.
Yeah.
But if you're ever in the Robinson area, go to the Eagle Theater. It's worth it. The people there are super friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Thursday nights, free popcorn. You can't beat that.
and they also have Cheap Seat Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah, Cheap Seat Tuesdays. They got every night of the week, pretty much, they got something going on. Wednesday night, they have that gas where you have the
Perks.
Perks, where you can get money off of your gas. And so it's like they've got something going every night.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, thanks to the guys, the Goobelmans that run the place, and, of course, Shanna, the manager, she is awesome. She always treats us nice, and she doesn't slap me whenever I try to get her to record the podcast with us. I keep trying to get her to. The same ownership runs the Clintonia Eagle in Clinton, Illinois. So, again, we praise these guys. For a small-town theater,
They do it right.
They do it right, and they offer a lot.
Yeah.
So you'd be surprised when you come in there. You're like, this is a small town theater. Yeah. When they got like six screens, and so anyway, 300 Rise of an Empire. I definitely recommend it because it's just a blast. Again, don't take the kids.
Not if you want to be explaining some stuff later.
There's one scene there and there's a couple of violent scenes that even more so that but
might get some nightmares.
But it's still worth seeing, especially if you're a comic book fan, if you're a Frank Miller fan.
Which I have become since Sin City.
Sin City. Oh, yeah, they're coming out with a new one of those, too.
Yes, they are.
So Frank Miller's going to have his year this year, I think.
Yeah.
So, especially if you're the Frank, and if you love the 300 movie. I heard a lot of people saying, oh, it's horrible because it's historically inaccurate. Well, dude, it's based on a comic book, yeah. Not history.
I mean, if you love 300, you're going to love this one.
Yeah.
I totally loved it. I mean, I'm a huge 300. I don't usually buy DVDs, but I bought 300, and I'll probably be buying this one to go with it. Yeah. On the shelf.
And that's the nice thing about this. It's not a sequel, necessarily, but it goes alongside it.
Yeah.
And it tells the rest of the story.
And somewhat of a prequel as well.
Yeah, yeah, actually. So.
Yeah.
In my opinion, definitely go see it.
My opinion, definitely.
All right, so you got to go see it. Yeah. All right, so that ends the movie section of this podcast. Keep it tuned here. Oh, hey, by the way, Nerd Day coming up the 15th, mm-hmm. and I promised I would give some secret words or phrases, and basically on the 15th in Palestine, Illinois, 15th of March, the Ides of March, if you come up to where I'm recording, I'm going to be setting up a table somewhere. Oh, cool. And just recording random people that come by that represent different aspects of Nerd Day. If you say one of these magic words or phrases, I will have a prize.
Oh.
I'll give a phrase this time around. This time around, the phrase will be, oh, hold on, let me think. I got to think about this one. Oh, I know, because I just recently interviewed the guy that... with Modifius Entertainment. How about this phrase will be Mutant Chronicles?
Nah.
It's a great RPG. Yeah. So, and I got to talk to Chris Birch from Modifius Entertainment about the upcoming mods coming out with it. So that's it. Mutant Chronicles. That's one of the magic words. Say that to me, and I've got a prize for you. So that does it for the movie section. I'm Guilty Wilson.
And I'm Brandon Bell.
Let's get back to the regular podcast. Stop. All right, it's time for the final section of the podcast. Actually, a surprise segment of the podcast. We went and saw another movie, and I mean, we were going to close out the podcast, but Isaac and I went and saw another movie we're going to review. It's the, I don't know if you call it not quite a remake. I guess it's a remake of the TV series, but... Yeah, a movie based on the series. Mr. Peabody and Sherman. We went and saw, it's the animated, you can get it in 2D or 3D, depending on what theater you want to go to, but we saw the 2D version because 3Ds don't really excite us that much. It has to be a really spectacular movie for us to want to see it in 3D, at least for me. What about you?
I only want to see it in 3D if it has one of those scratch and sniff things that need
scratch. Smell-o-vision or Smell-o-rama. Actually, there was a movie back in the 70s, but you'll never see it. It was in Smell-o-rama.
And you said it had a scene where they were cooking cat crap or something?
Dog crap, yeah. Yeah. Yes, it was a John Waters film. But anyway, yeah, we saw Mr. Peabody and Sherman, and I'll tell you, I was a little bit leery of this because, I mean, Mr. Peabody and Sherman are a classic because, you know, the original was a classic and you can't really do it. Now,
he said that about RoboCop too.
Yeah, I did. And I was proven wrong again. But, this movie, they did a good job with it. They had the one thing, and you caught on to this, Isaac, the whole pun thing. Everything was a pun, mm-hmm. just about. Well, not everything, but several puns throughout the show. They did that at the end of every episode.
God, it's worse than Tumblr.
It was a good time because of the puns. And also, you know, the whole dynamic of Sherman and Peabody. They changed it up a little bit. In the TV series, they were just kind of partners. It seemed like kind of a... Well, like Back to the Future. Like Marty and Doc had... Their relationship was like, you know, he just knew this weird scientist guy. That's kind of how I pictured it for the TV series. But in the movie, and I guess that pretty much makes the plot... because of this aspect, is that Sherman is Mr. Peabody's son. Mr. Peabody adopted him.
How are Sherman and Peabody related in the original?
Like I said, kind of like the Back to the Future, like Doc and Marty McFly. You know, they just Marty just happens to know this weird, mad scientist guy, mm. you know. I like that dynamic, but they had to have a plot for this one, and that's the plot behind this movie, is that this one woman is trying to get Sherman taken away from Mr. Peabody because, you know, dogs are unfit parents. So I guess that builds the plot. But also Sherman kind of develops a girlfriend in this one, and she's also... Oh man, was that a spoiler?
No, but she's spoiled.
She is a spoiled brat. But she starts a fight, and that starts the ball rolling, and he shows her the Wayback Machine, and they tear up his time, the time, space-time continuum, and have to fix it. Although
there's still a paradox they never fixed.
Yeah, I know, and we'll talk about that here in a second. Basically, what happened
about that at the end?
what happened is that they, well, let's do it now. They talk, we'll kind of build it up here. They went back to ancient Egypt, and she, the girl, was going to get married to King Tut because she thought, well, I'll inherit all the riches when he dies because he dies a young boy. Well, she didn't realize that they're going to kill her and bury her along with him because that's part of the Egyptian thing. And she goes, oh, get me out of here. So they go, they escape. And then they go to
next they go to
They run out of power, so they have to go to
Italy
to Leonardo da Vinci. There we go. I had to remember that.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leonardo da Vinci was an inventor of his time, you know, and so they had to go to him to help so they could repower the Wayback Machine. And then she kind of opens him up, and they kind of become friends. And then anyway, well, they then go to the Trojan War. The Trojan horse has just been snuck in the walls of Troy, and anyway, it seems like Peabody dies. Well, they come back to the future trying to tell him Mr. Peabody can fix it in the past, or in the future. So they come back and do that, but at the same time, they keep the original Sherman from coming. Well, the original Sherman comes back to tell Peabody to rescue him from ancient Egypt, but there's a little thing. She's still back in ancient Egypt because they never go back to her. There's a little paradox that they created there, and they never fixed that paradox. Although,
so basically, the girl is in the wrong timeline.
Yes, she's in the wrong timeline. So, time travel, wibbly wobbly stuff, you know. So, I think what it is, maybe they're building on a sequel. I don't know, but still, it's for us time travel aficionados, there's a bit of a paradox created there that they have to get fixed sometime soon. Altogether, I will say that it's a hilarious show. There's lots of puns. There's also lots of fun things. Like there's a section when Bill Clinton comes out and says, "Oh, well, I've done worse." You know, there's I'll let Isaac tell his favorite line here in a minute. But there's also the guy that played the Tick, Patrick Warburton. There we go. He plays the Agamemnon, and he.
You mean the guy that plays Joe Swanson and what's his name? From plays Cusco's new empire.
Yeah, the guy that does a lot of voice work and really good at it. But he was also Putty on Seinfeld. That's going way back. Anyway,
way back.
A guy from the French Revolution gets tased, and Patrick Warburton says, "Don't tase me, bro," which was quite. I mean, it was surprisingly funny. The little lines like that. But there's also one other line, Isaac.
Whenever Peabody doesn't really die and he comes back, he came back to stop, as he says in the line, "I came back to stop Sherman from touching himself."
And we're in a theater full of kids. There's a lot of kids with parents, you know, and Isaac and I are pretty much the oldest ones there, really, other than some of the other parents. But Isaac cracks up at that line, and no one else in the theater seemed to get it. So, as you could tell, there's
well, they
little...
probably did, but they didn't want to say it in front of their kids.
Well, the parents, yeah. But the kids didn't, so that was, you know, I guess to show you that there's a little bit of humor for everybody, and especially towards the end, it is just, there's just one sight gag after another, and it's funny. And I don't know, I still think that they changed it enough so that the original is, I don't know, they kind of took away from the original, but the original is still intact. They still paid homage to the original, and also at the very end, if you remember the Peabody and Sherman cartoons from way back, you'll notice at the end of those cartoons they had the Trojan horse and they had a parade of characters, and the Trojan horse was one of them, and behind the Trojan horse was a guy sweeping up everything. And so they kind of did that with the end of this show, so it's like they still paid the homage to the original, so it was alright. They did that well enough to make it a good movie, and plus it introduces a whole new generation to Sherman and Peabody. So alright, Isaac, what'd you think?
I thought it was a good movie.
Was it worth seeing?
It had worse puns than Tumblr, as I've already said.
What do you mean by Tumblr? Is there a Tumblr pun page or something?
Tumblr has, like, the worst... If you've ever gone to the Best of Tumblr Facebook page, and they've always got these screen caps of Tumblr, there are so many terrible puns.
Oh, I don't think I've checked that out. You kept saying that. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? So, all right. Well, I can see that then.
Allie would probably get it.
Oh, okay. Well, it was definitely surprisingly good. I mean,
like the Lego movie.
Yeah, kind of like the Lego movie. But at the same time, I knew that it had better be good, actually. Lego movie, I went in thinking, that's going to be kind of silly. But this one, I just knew it had better be good, or they're going to be facing my wrath. But they did a good enough job.
Facing your grapes.
Not having seen the original, do you think they created a new storyline, a new audience? I mean,
probably. I mean, they did that I don't know what other thing I can relate that to where they created a new audience.
Well, what about the Speed Racer movie?
When did they make that?
A few years ago. The Speed Racer was from the 70s, and then the Speed Racer movie, I think they totally lost it on that one. They weren't able to bring it back.
I guess just like most of the new Spider-Man shows, they create a new audience to Venom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most kids just know about Spider-Man and bad guys, but...
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I think, again, I highly recommend it. Once again, thanks to the Robinson Eagle Theater. The popcorn's great. The sodas are great. And the movie, I mean, there's really never a bad seat in the place. Isaac and I always seek out right dead center as much as possible. And
there were too many people this time.
Mm-hmm. So we didn't quite get dead center, perfect location. But, again, there's never a bad seat at the Eagle Theater. So thanks again. Shout out goes out to the Goobelmans for making a great watching pleasure. If you're ever in the Robinson area, make sure you stop in. Tell them you listen to the podcast. If you know, hey, just let them know that we're the ones that told you about it. So
that is an awesome name.
What?
Goobelmans.
Goobelmans. Isn't it, though? Isn't it? So, anyway. All right. Well, that does it for this segment of the podcast. And it also wraps up the podcast. Yeah, I know it was a bit of a long podcast this time around, but worth it. Don't forget Nerd Day, the 15th of March, the Ides of March. And those magic words that we gave you throughout the podcast.
I just realized King Caesar wasn't in that movie. They should have made some kind of thing with him.
Julius Caesar?
Yeah. King Caesar, Julius Caesar, Caesar salad, whatever.
Caesarian section. Anyway, make sure you come out to Nerd Day. If you can't make it out, at least keep listening to the podcast, that's for sure. Use those magic words, get some free prizes. We'll be there, Isaac and I. Isaac will be dressed up as...
Scarlet Spider, we already said
that. Oh, yeah, we did say that earlier. Yeah, he'll be dressed up as a Scarlet Spider, the Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider. Come out and say hi to him, and also come out and mention those magic words and get a free prize from me. And Isaac, you even got a prize, didn't you?
Yeah, I just bought it.
So he got a prize, and he gave a special magic word. And if you can say that magic word, you get the prize that Isaac went out and purchased for you. To win. Hey, and it's a cool prize, actually.
It is.
All right, well, that does it for this podcast. Join us next time. We'll try not to make it as long, but if you liked it as long, we'll make it as long. In the meantime, I'm Gil T. Wilson.
I'm Barack Obama.
Stay nerdy. Nerd up.
www.gilwilson.com. If you need quality voice work for your radio commercials, audio for TV commercials, or maybe just for that message on hold for your business, you need to check out www.gilwilson.com. GILWILSON.com. www.gilwilson.com. Check it out. It's quirky. It's fun. It's innovative.